guys. Gersh, alcoholic. I have to say, I have to send much respect to this meeting. 183 people at 6:30 in the morning. Wow. That is a level of commitment. And yeah, I love it. Obviously, a lot of people here don't know me. I'll give you a little background. Lulu knows me. And over the decades, I'm a California native. I got here sober here in LA. My sobriety date is September 19th, 1985. It was really fun getting sober in the 80s in LA, I gotta tell you. And my original home group was 4343 Radford. That was my first one. And I did a lot of time in the parking lot of Ohio Street, I will say that. And I do have my home group now. It is the Lifeboat Men's Group. And very interesting. I returned live for the first time last night. I haven't been to a lot of live meetings. Now, I'm a meeting goer. I was raised old school AA. We show up and I go to meetings for two reasons. Well, three reasons, actually. One is that's where they keep old timers. And two, that's where you find newcomers. And three, that's where you get a commitment. So that's my kind of AA. That's how I was raised. Always have a commitment at a meeting, always be doing something. And I love it when we, damn, and we didn't even hold hands last night because we're being really respectful of what's going on in the world. But when we hold hands and pray at the end of the meeting, we have an old timer in one hand and a newcomer in the other, and then I'm in the middle. And if I stay in the middle of the pack in AA and just strive to be general public, I get to stay around here for 36 years. So that's a good one. It's still, well, no, it's getting light out. Okay, so it is tomorrow. It is now Tuesday. I come from rock and roll, and when I got sober, I was strictly a musician, and yeah, nooners were a goal for me. That was like me, showing up was like making Radford Noon or Moorpark at one point. Everywhere, but I wasn't a morning guy. But as we grow and we change and our life progresses, I have become more of a morning person, just based on what opportunities are in front of me. So basically, I don't have to be on the road and be that kind of guy, and I can get up in the morning now. And I would attribute that to a sober life and a lot of work on six and seven. I definitely was one of those. I got sober at 24. I'm 60 today, and I'm actually married for 1 year. First time I've ever been married. So I definitely have experienced sobriety. There are a lot of newcomers. And I hope that you are allowed and give yourself the dignity to grow up in public in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Don't be in a hurry. It's not a race. Nobody graduates. A life lived in Alcoholics Anonymous is a great path. And I hear it over and over again. I'm really glad that I've stayed long enough to be divinely inconvenienced by the work of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that wouldn't happen immediately. It took time for that concept to just feel right and be my life. And there was a lot of work involved. But I will say that the first commitment I ever had, they made me a greeter at Radford at 4343. And the old timers, it was an interesting thing. There was a woman named Alabama Carruthers, and I don't know if anybody old school knows Alabama. awesome. And my mother was a Southerner. She grew up in Mobile, Alabama. Till I was 10 years old, I thought my name was Honey. And I heard Alabama. I walked in there so broken. And I had retreated from, I was losing basically my humanity. I became isolated and cut off. And I heard Alabama and it just struck a chord in me, because I'm very fortunate. I had a great mother, and she passed in 94, but I had a great mother. And they would say, God is in the coffee cups and the ashtrays. And then they'd look at your feet. So if at the end of the meeting, they'd say, you want to clean up or you want to mop or you want to broom or do you want to clean coffee cups? And they had those nasty plastic coffee cups and these big coffee machines and everything. And then they look at your feet. So if you didn't do anything and you were a newcomer, if you just didn't do anything, you basically became kind of like a prop, a seat filler. So when you see the big awards, like the Academy Awards and the Grammys and stuff, they'll be seat fillers. So when people are moving around, the camera can always see a full set of seats. They're all occupied, but really they're seat fillers because people are moving around. And I didn't want to be a seat filler. And I was beaten into a sense of reasonableness. And so I started raising my hand. I also was brought in by an Eskimo man named Ron S. And we grew up together in Malibu. We were little Malibrats in the 70s, little surf punks. And he got sober before me. And he introduced me to who became my sponsor for 33 years, a man named Al Saenz. Now, I don't know if anybody knows Al Saenz, but maybe right here, right now, right here, right now, Al Saenz. And he was my sponsor for 33 years. He passed away just about 3 years ago. And that relationship became so key in my recovery. And I really, it was a slow roll. I'm really lucky that I have a lot of chapters in my life, and AA has been the foundation and the constant. And I love AA. I love AA, but I liked AA when I showed up. And I didn't like, I wasn't getting asked back to a lot of places. I was that kind of newcomer. Al had told me I had an air of noise about me and my mouth was closed. And I was a drummer and I was it just took a lot to get me out of the house, but once you got me out, you couldn't get me to go back. And love and tolerance. Alcoholics Anonymous gave me a level, and this is kind of something I've been focusing on and talking about a lot lately. The kindness in AA. So Alabama and that crew made me a greeter. And I had a thing where, if you knew my name, I had to know, remember your name. It was just a common courtesy. And I didn't not want to get in the group. I didn't plan on getting in the group. I just started showing up because Ron started taking me to meetings. And I realized that I wouldn't drink if I went to a couple of meetings a day. If I just, went to a meeting and then went to lunch with people, we'd go to 420, we'd go to Jerry's Deli, or we'd go, all over LA because I started going to the night meetings. I wouldn't drink. And I'd wake up and I'd repeat it, And it was funny, I was talking to a newcomer last night and I heard his share and we all shared. It's a men's group and you just round robin and everybody shares for 3 minutes. And I was talking to him afterward and I rem in our conversation, I reminded myself, Al used to have me put a post-it on my mirror that said, I want to be exactly where I'm at. Because, you know, that constant stimuli of my head, of living in my head as a newcomer, this untrained muscle that told me self-loathing and fear and react. It had no fuse. It had no governor on it, you know, and it was an untrained, unruly device. And it was a terrible master. And, you know, we have a spiritual practice, you know, and the last three steps, we continue to improve our practice, you know. And so through time, the noise turned down, you know, and I got to learn to live my life as if it were a loose garment. Now, that's a goal. I mean, freedom from bondage itself is something. But to learn to live my life as if it were a loose garment was very attractive to me. And I didn't know how to go about doing that, you know, and prayer and meditation are key in that, but also 6 and 7. Okay. So I look at defects of character like a rope. I'm tied up. I'm trapped between my defects of character and the way I react internally, the way I look at myself, the way I look at my outer relationship with my higher power, and the way I interact with you guys. So all those defects of character need to be addressed over time, or, you know, as much as I understand them, because it wasn't like doing a 4-step. 6 and 7 for me, and looking at my defects of character, it takes a life to live a life. And getting out there and getting involved and being with you people and interacting with you people. And, you know, my string of short-term commitments that I called relationships at the time taught me a lot and ignited a lot in me. And I would address those defects of character. And it's very interesting because each one of those ropes that I cut give me a little more freedom to move about, you know, with less restriction, with less limitations. It makes me more effective. And why do I want to be effective? Because I owe AA huge. So the way for me to pay back what was freely given to me is to be an effective human, not just a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, but to, you know, stay in the light and carry the message and be a good example. And then if somebody does ask me, you know, when the hand of AA reaches out, I'm responsible. So, you know, I go out and it's that kindness. Am I being kind? It's in great need, and it's been of shortage as of late. And you know, when I see it in others, it attracts me to them and allows me to be close to them. And also, you know, it's like, wow, the words and the music of Alcoholics Anonymous. The words are in the book, and the music is in our laughter and our kindness to each other. You know, and so when I hear the music of AA, or when I hear like how many newcomers there were at this meeting, or when I even experience something new, like newcomers that got sober on Zoom, which I love Zoom, but, you know, my experience was throw me in the room because I needed the stimuli and I needed the people and I needed to run around all over LA and be with you guys. But, you know, Zoom gave people this opportunity to get their feet in the water, and then the people that were responsible connected with those people, either by the newcomer reaching out on Zoom or afterward. And this little device here, which is a really good sobriety connection device. I text a lot of dudes, and I stay in touch with my little group of men. And admittedly, I've been to 3 live meetings. I spoke at one, I had one at my house with my wife, and then I went to my men's group last night. And I'm totally happy on Zoom. I love it. But again, meetings are where they keep old timers and newcomers. And we, it says in the book, we meet frequently so new people can find the fellowship they seek. Okay, I see that. Great, perfect. And for me, it's a new experience, and so I have a lot of respect for people getting sober on Zoom and experiencing like, well, that must be different. That's different than 1985 LA sobriety. And I'm very respectful and very aware of the lineage that I have in Alcoholics Anonymous, that I've experienced, the mentors that I've had, and the people like, just getting to go here, like Friday night, you get to go hear Howard P, or you go get to hear Al Saenz, or you like Chuck, all these people would be speaking. It was insane. And constant contact with people like Maurice Stenner and Scott Redmond, and getting to see Cubby, and getting to see man, it was just, I have a lot of respect for Alcoholics Anonymous. So I like to pass that on, I like to pass that on. And in that, I also realize that there are people coming in that are having a new experience to get to the information in the big book. Like they've come through Zoom. They didn't come through the door. We couldn't make them a greeter. We couldn't, like, we can on Zoom, but you know what I mean. Like, they're not shaking hands and like getting intimidated by people. And, there's 198 people in this room. And when you're new, and I'm talking in your first year, you go to those rooms and you see that many people and you come into contact with that many people, it's intense. And it's a little safer and more muted on Zoom. It's not, they're not in your face, they're on your screen. You can go to gallery or you can go to speaker. Like I go to gallery because I want to see everybody and see if there's people I love and see and know, or see if there's somebody I've never seen before that's got the look, that's got the stare. Wallflowers die. I was taught that really, really early in AA. Go say hi to a wallflower. If you see somebody that's trying to be invisible in the room, reach out to them. Just connect. Tell them your name, say hello, ask them how they're doing, and compassionately listen to them. That's one really important thing Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me to deal with newcomers and to deal with people in the world. Compassionate listening. I got that. And I'll wind it up on this. In my relationship, sometimes I'll ask myself, am I listening or am I being asked for my opinion? Well, trust me, most of the time you're listening. And sometimes newcomers they just need to be heard. They just need to be heard. We need to be heard. We come in suffering, and AA is a place for us to stop suffering, and the war can be over, and we can actually connect with other human beings, and they can show us the path of recovery, and they can get us started, in the big book on a plan of recovery, and show us how to do the steps and show us how to become human beings again. And that's it. I got reintroduced to life through the words and music of Alcoholics Anonymous. Happy winter solstice. It's a cool day today, shortest day of the year. And have a happy holiday, everybody. Thank you, Lulu. Thank you.